Shabbos Perek Yud Tes Mishnah Hey, still on the subject of Bris Milah on Shabbos. Katan Nimo L'Shmona. We see this is a similar Mishnah to the first Mishnah in Megillah that talks about the many days when you can read the Megillah. A baby can have a bris on the 8th day, Letisha on the 9th day, Vela Asara on the 10th day, Ula Achadosar and on the 11th day, Ula Shneimosar and on the 12th day. Presumably not having a bris every single day. One is plenty. But there are different cases when each of these days, 8 through 12, can be appropriate. Lo pachos, not earlier than the 8th day. Velo yosar, and not later than the 12th day. As long as this is a situation where you're trying to give the bris at the proper time. Haketzad, so what are these situations? So kedarko, the ordinary way to give a bris, is lishmona on the 8th day. So that's when you have the bris. On the other hand, nolad levein hashmoshos, if he's born bein hashmoshos, where it's doubtful if it's day or night, so for example, Sunday evening at twilight, and we don't know if it's daytime Sunday or nighttime already of Monday, then nima letisha, we give him the bris on the 9th day, we begin to count the 8th day from the night following, and we go into day 9, and that's when he gets the bris. Bein hashmoshos shel erev Shabbos. If he is born at twilight on Friday, so we don't know if it's Friday or if it's Shabbos, Nima La Asara, then he gets his bris on the 10th day, because the 8th day from Friday would be the following Friday, but we don't count from the beginning. Since he's born at twilight, we count from the nighttime. The 9th day would be Shabbos, but we're not going to override Shabbos for a baby who's not having his bris on the proper 8th day, and since this might be the 9th, we don't override Shabbos for it, so he has the bris on Sunday, which is the 10th day. Yom Tov La'achar HaShabbos, if it's a situation where it's a Shabbos Sunday Yontif, which doesn't take place that often Bizman HaZeh for us, but it can happen. Shavuos can come out on a Matzeh Shabbos. So if you have a Shabbos and then a Yontif, Nimo La'acharosar. So again, he was born at twilight on Friday, so we can't give him the bris on Friday because we're not sure he was born on Friday for day 8. We can't give him the bris on Shabbos because that's day 9, possibly, and we're not going to be Dechah Shabbos for that. We're not going to give him the bris on Yontif either, because by then it might be the 10th day. And so we say that we give him the bris on the possible 11th day on Isru Chag after Yontif. And the final case, if you've got Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, in the times of the Mishnah, the only Yontif that was going to be a two-day Yontif in Eretz Yisrael was Rosh Hashanah, and he's born where you've got a Shabbos Sunday Monday Rosh Hashanah, which is not possible in our calendar today. Nima L'Shneimasar, he's going to have the bris on the 12th day, and following along again, he's born Friday night, before the three-day Yontif of Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. We don't give him the bris on Friday, day 8, because what if he was born on Shabbos, so the mitzvah is not chal yet. We don't machal Shabbos. We're not machal both days of Rosh Hashanah, days 10 and 11. So instead, we give him the bris on the 12th day on Tzom Gedalia. Katan hachole, on the other hand, if you have a sick child, our standard situation, a child with jaundice or something along those lines, then ein mo'al, and we don't give him a bris, also, ad she yavri, until he becomes well. Until he recovers from the illness, we count 7 full 24-hour days, so he'll become strong. And then afterwards, they give him the bris, if this is an illness for the entire body. However, one part of the body, for example, just an eye problem, then they wait until he recovers from that. This is actually not the jaundice case, because generally speaking, once the baby's not yellow anymore, they'll do the bris right away. This is a case of a real illness where he needs a 24-hour recovery period once the illness goes away. Mishnah Vav, a little bit graphic. Elu hein tzitzin hama'akven es hamilo. These are shreds of skin remaining from the orla, from the foreskin, that render the bris milah invalid. As long as they haven't been removed, the baby is not considered to have a proper bris. Basar hachofe es rov ha'atara. If there's skin that covers most of the corona of the tip of the male organ, and it could cover most of the high area on top, in that case, that skin has to be removed, and the removal of that skin is Doche Shabbos. Even after he finished the Bris Milah, or thought he had finished, he can return and remove the remainder of this Orla, because this shred renders the Bris to be not a valid Bris. If only a little bit remains that doesn't cover most of the height of the Atara, in that case, then you would wait until it does not render the Bris invalid, As long as he's still involved, he can return to remove it. But once he removed his hand and finished the bris, then he has to go back after Shabbos to remove whatever little pieces of skin are left. Ve'ena ochel betruma. And if the circumcised person with the incomplete bris is a Kohen, and the skin covering most of the Atara is still there, then he has the same legal status as an Orla, and then a Kohen Orel is not allowed to eat Truma. They make a Gzeira Shava from the Korban Pesach, that you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, and Orel, so a Kohen can eat Truma as well. There are situations in the Gemara that talk about if you have a young Kohen is born, and several of his brothers died from having a Bris Milah, they don't give him a Bris Milah, and he can't eat Truma. V'im haya baal basar. And if the baby was a very fat baby, and so after they got rid of the entire Orla, it looks like, because of the way the folds of skin are showing up, like he hasn't had the proper bris, misakno mipnei maras ha'ayin, then they can do a little cosmetic surgery and correct it. They can cut a little additional skin, kind of a membrane that is below the skin that might look like it's covering the Atara, so that the Atara will be visible and it will look like he has his bris. Even though he technically did, you remove a little more of this membrane to make it look even more bris-like. Mol velo para es amila. If he did the bris and did not do the paria, the tearing that finishes the bris, then it is ki'ilu lo mol. It's as if the bris wasn't completed. Although we already learned that if you have skin covering most of the Atara, that invalidates the bris. This teaches us that if a person had a bris on Shabbos and did not do the paria at all, then the mitzvah has not been fulfilled. And not only that, but he violated Shabbos because he inflicted a wound without actually performing a mitzvah. So it teaches us a little bit more about the Shabbos violation in addition to the requirements of the bris that everything be removed properly.